Testing.
All right.
Let the meeting begin, Chris.
Sure.
All right.
Sir.
Are you here for something specific, or can we... You public comment or how you want
to... I received something in the mail regarding the traffic. That was something that was happening around 1:30 Central.
Okay. This is the water...
Yeah, that's Wednesday, November 2nd is that meeting.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. No, there's one... I just got the email myself the other day... Cape Cod Commission is going to do a public meeting to discuss Route 28 corridor on Wednesday, November 2nd at Catuit Freedom Hall from 6 to 8.
Okay.
Okay, no problem.
You're fine. You're welcome
coming
out.
Here and listen to water company stuff.
Yeah.
Are you from Catuit?
Yes, I am.
Good. Good.
Yeah.
Well, we're the water commissioners, and we're sending you water to you right next to oxygen. We take care of the water. Chris is our water superintendent. We're the water commissioners. And we meet that.
We did meet
the third Thursday of every month, but we're not doing that anymore.
We're kind of going month to month.
Now. So. It gets posted.
It's buried.
Okay.
It gets posted.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Yeah, good luck on the traffic patterns.
Yeah,
all right.
They need to do something, that's for sure.
Another satisfied customer. Right there. All right, we're on the minutes. All right, boys.
Okay.
Is their font getting smaller?
That font, I think.
I know.
It's my eye.
It's me.
No, I think it's getting smaller. Everybody gone through?
That or she ran low on ink, one or the other.
Yeah, that was probably what it is. I'm going to get my other glasses out so I can see this. While we're reading, can you guys talk a little bit? Are we allowed to do like two things at one time, Chris?
Well, I think Jen
really
needs to get locked.
Not really. Okay, I'll wait.
Has anybody had a chance to review them? That's really all you got to ask.
Yeah. We need a motion to make a motion to accept the minutes as presented.
My second.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
John, you see this right here? What am I doing with this pen? Vic said I don't write anything down.
Oh, he's writing.
Vic said I never write anything down.
It's because he sits so far away, he doesn't know.
He's way down the table. He doesn't know that stuff.
That pen might catch fire tonight.
All right. You good? I know it's tiny.
They're all there. I said, hold on.
All right.
Yep.
Lawrence there, a great one. Did everybody get all their plants in?
No.
I took all mine off the deck.
Night. I didn't even plant them.
Took the Christmas cactus off the deck that blooms in Halloween. Ooh.
Do the warrants.
Is this just the regular bills? Is that what this says?
That is for the excess billing. Yeah, for the bills.
Yeah.
Yep.
Gotcha.
That is our payment to send out all the bills.
Mm-hmm.
That was September, yes. It's been at the last for a little while.
Okay.
Is it two there or one?
Oh.
That is excess mailing. We'd be happy to send that out on November 1st.
A hidden one.
Back down.
Oh,
oh
go
boy.
Can you see the just press that? No, the one. Okay, I should have checked with my glasses. That's all. Sorry.
Sorry about that.
I was just looking at that, Richard. This is, first of all, I didn't know his name was Richard.
Yep.
Not bad.
That's a lot of
I know he has some issues, that's right.
And he actually has a discounted rate.
Did good.
Because he felt so guilty to us.
So we got a leak tonight, huh, Chris?
Yes, at the Winnikainen's house on Newtown Road, almost across from Ridge Top.
Oh, yeah.
Down there, next between Brittany. It's probably the fifth or sixth copper leak we've had on that corner in the last 4 years.
Hmm.
4 to 5 years. I don't know if it's the new tank with a little more pressure there from the old weakness of the copper lines, or if we're starting to have some problem in that area. But that's just copper that's getting their pinholes, and they're just, I mean, the hole now is, it's a big half-inch hole in there. It's like a half-inch piece of, I mean, like I said, the pump's almost a foot high over there. But, yeah.
How old are the lines?
Excuse me?
How old are the lines?
It was only put in probably 30 years old, 32 years, 35 at the most.
Yeah.
They stopped doing copper in the late 70s.
Yeah.
I mean, started in the late 70s, ended in the early 80s. When Lenny took over, I think he stopped using copper going across the street. Or it was still...
It'd be 2-inch, 20 feet of 2-inch pushing it, right?
Yeah, something like, it was tough. And
did you ever do it?
I've actually got a pushing one there.
You get that right up your back.
Yeah. I still thought to put a service in underneath the guy's house. We've got a pipe.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Guy needed a service to come into the front middle of his house. They dug a hole in the middle of the house and we got underneath the house with a gutter pipe going in and went all the way there and ran it right through the gutter pipe right down up.
Perfect.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Water quality, how about?
Water quality, superintendent's report, here we go.
Water quality, basically, we're doing well. Everything's still no coliform. All tests that we've been doing have been coming out back well, working fine. Nothing to report as not good. Superintendent's report, September of 2015, we pumped 32,799,000 gallons of water. September of 2016, we pumped 32,383,000 gallons of water for a decrease of 416,000. Right up.
Good.
I mean, it got wet. It started raining.
Yeah, it did the rain.
Yeah. It helped, yeah. So, I mean, it's good to see. We didn't have any services or replacement services at all done. One of the main reasons for that, I believe at least, was because two people, the superintendent quit for Board of Lottie and went to another job, and so did one of the foreman, I would say, or senior men that were there, kind of left with him, I guess. I'm not really sure where they went, but today's the first time I've used them since then, and Mike Leone, one of the owners of Bortolotti, went out on Monday morning with, or maybe last Thursday, with Brian and I to measure some services. So we're working through Mike right now and just seeing what happens at this point. So we're hoping everything still stays pretty good. Probably seeing at this point. Kind of a weird thing to say, but I think the generator is finished. The gentleman came down about 2 to 3 weeks ago and said that he had to do some run it and test it and everything else. And I just assumed after he left that I would get my different manuals for it and everything else delivered with a notice that everything's good and get a bill from Ari Mitchell, and I haven't heard from him since he left. So I'm assuming that we're there and everything's pretty good, but I called today just to get a clarification on that, and they didn't call me back.
We got a new generator at the tank.
Tell you the truth.
We have one there.
I'm afraid to get my truck dirty, so I didn't want to drive in there. And today would have been a good day. It would have been nice and
beautiful
clean.
Beautiful over there
nice
now.
Nice in there now, yeah.
It's all landscaped and everything. I'm taking Russ's thunder right now.
Oh, that's okay. That's okay. The quicker he can get out, the better. All right. Let's see. I believe it was yesterday. Vic and I met with the gentleman who's going to do the forestry plan.
Mm-hmm.
Finally came down. We finally got together. There's a lot of canceling and rescheduling, but we finally did it, and he had a assistant that is going to be doing some GIS work from home between the different maps on the computer and start looking into what he can do and what he can't, and he'll get back to us as soon as we can get going on that. So at least we get things going. We do have a January 15th deadline on that, and he knows it. He's got it written down, so we can get things going on that also.
He indicated we may be able to get some more acreage in on the 150 approved, because I guess we have enough acreage in the other parcels to get those approved.
Oh, good, yeah. That's good.
Yeah. He was going to see if we could, yeah. He was going to look at it, see what was there and everything else, and give us that recommendation, I believe. Yeah. JR passed his D1.
Wow.
And as of November, we'll receive his dollar raise.
Gotta
for doing it.
JR.
Yeah. And tomorrow, both him and Matt will be taking their T1.
Oh, good. Really?
Good.
He's
their
actually,
T1.
He's already taken it last week and failed it.
Okay,
yeah, I did. Okay. But they're both going to be taking it now. I just got something from, they sent it to, it's kind of funny, I believe they sent it to Sherry, because she kept an old email address that she had from here, who sent it to Jen, who Jen finally sent it to me. Looks like Mass Rural Water Works up in Easton is going to be throwing a class on the very small systems, the D1 and the T1, as kind of a training. So if they do not pass, I'll offer them both. It's only going to be $60. It's a 3-day class.
Yeah.
Whereas if you do it through New England Water Works, it's 485 or six consecutive half-day classes up in Hopkinton or whatever it is. Yeah, Holliston.
Right.
Yeah. So it's ridiculous.
Holliston.
Yeah, it's in Holliston. And
it's
ridiculous
building.
The amount of money that they charge. But we still pay it at times. So, yeah, that's good news. And for the bad news, our friends at AT&T, who basically do not have a contract with us, I believe, anymore at the Main Street tank. I don't know if you remember back a while ago, they were not sending checks. Then we'd get two checks. Then they wouldn't. Then all of a sudden we'd get a check. I'm not really sure, but I think they owe us a check from last year. Well, as of now, we haven't received a check in 3 months.
Yeah, I just noticed that.
Yeah. So, I don't know if you want me to call counsel. I don't know how we want to deal with it. It's tough, but I'm going to see more than likely a representative from them tomorrow at GHD. And I can mention something to them and ask them to look into it because, you know, they've been asking us to help them out here and there. T-Mobile has, and Sprint has. AT&T shows up and kind of sits in the corner, doesn't say much. So, I'd like to at least mention something at that point if I don't hear much from them.
You're right. They're probably not the people that are involved in paying out to those guys. But
they don't have a contract with us right now.
At least they may know who we can contact. You know.
Or where? Yeah.
Yeah,
well, that's what I'm thinking. What I'm thinking. If they're 3 months behind right now, the funny part is last time I didn't think that they were going to send anything. The next day after I called council, I got two checks in the mail. One of them was crinkled and had been taped back together. So I don't know if they did it before they sent it out, you know, or what happened. But, you know, we got two of them within 2 days that were different.
Wouldn't hurt to talk to council, that's for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can also ask the guy, you know, who to talk to, and if they don't want to do it, where they would like to have their attachment sent to.
They'll just say send it to legal.
Yeah. You know, I mean the physical.
Where they want their antennas.
Yeah.
Where they want their antennas.
Well, you know, we still get multiple phone calls and people going in there saying working subcontracts for AT&T. And I'm thinking maybe if I know the combination of their lock over there, taking it off, tossing it in the back of my truck and saying, sorry, we can't let you in today.
Yeah, I've talked to their contractor over there. I've seen them.
Yeah, there's a few of them. You know, it depends who calls in, who they work. It's never somebody that says AT&T on the side.
No.
Well, you know, O'Connelly that works, that's a subcontractor for them or something.
Let's, before we decide anything, let's hear Russell, too. And we're to talk about what's going to take place tomorrow.
Okay.
And that way we get a better idea. Maybe we've answered some of our own questions if we get to that part right there.
All right, sounds great.
Okay.
And that will conclude my report. Oh.
I did have a question about the line item on the generator here.
Line item on the generator.
On emergency generator.
You are talking on the financial report?
Yeah.
Okay.
60650.
Yeah.
Yes. There is a line item there that says negative $40,000 and $40,308.46.
Yeah.
That is because we have not been reimbursed from hazardous mitigation.
Okay.
We decided to do it afterwards, and we talked to Mike, and he said he would. They're paying for 75% of this,
mm-hmm.
so 75% of $100,000, so they're paying $75,000
out of
it. That's $10,000 over what we had or something like that. So it's going to be $10,000 put back in basically and turned into the district at the end.
All right. So all our line items are in good shape then?
Yes. Right now they are, yes. As long as everything goes well, we're doing well.
Okay.
Yeah. They'll be all right.
That was my real concern.
Nice job, Donald.
And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
Yeah, no problem.
All right.
Any other questions?
No more, Chris. You did good. Glad to see you back
from
vacation. You don't have any more vacations, do you?
Yeah. December
21st?
No. The first full week of December, I'm taking a Monday and Tuesday off, and the last week of...
All right.
I'm taking the...
We need to know that you can have a meeting while you're gone so Jen can come.
I can remember.
Oh.
Bazinga.
We love you. We love Jen. All right. Good job, Chris. Thank you. Yep. All right. We're going to move towards old business. It's going to kind of be new old business. Russ.
Okay.
Mr. Kleekamp is here. Here, bring him up to the table. Thanks, Russell.
Okay, no problem. No problem.
Speak into the microphone so we can hear you.
You got me?
Okay.
Good. Okay. Russ Kleekamp with GHD. So to go over the project and what's going on, sounds like we want to talk about the cell phone tower and what's happening. We're having a meeting tomorrow with representatives from the carriers, and I've seen quite a few people respond to it, and some names I've never seen before. So it looks like it's got the attention of people. What the goal of that is for the longest time now we've been telling the carriers the tank is going to come down, and at first it didn't really seem like they were too interested, and then I think they started to understand what was going on, and when the RFP for the tower went out, they started to say, okay, well, this is really happening now. As it stands right now, when the new tank gets put online, which I'm guessing is hopefully within 30 days, my advice or recommendation to do it. Let's do the next phase of the project and start plans for demolition of the Main Street tank. Now, obviously, we can't, as much as we want to, we can't just go in there and rip the stuff in. So the advice would be for legal counsel to send a letter saying the tank is coming down, remove your equipment within 30 days or something to that effect. Now, my guess is that the carriers, I can't say this, but this is my speculation, is that if a letter like that is mailed, the response will be from their legal staff saying, well, per this section of the lease, per that section of the lease, just finding ways to delay it. Now, it would make everyone's lives easier if the new tower could be built and they could just do a one-time swap. Unfortunately, that's probably still about a year away. We have had progress with that. We've met with Growth Management and U.S. Wireless, and knock on wood, they seem to be very agreeable. They understand the situation is pre-existing service. They can't just go in and drop it. For whatever reasons, they're caught up very much so with the temporary cell phone provisions, which is a headache, and which I don't have an answer why. But seeing how they're acting like a proponent for the cell phone tower, I'd like to keep that momentum going. So the goal of tomorrow's meeting, my one thought to that process would be that if the former engineers that looked at the structural condition of that tank could advise on a way where that tank remains standing for 6 months to 12 months, whether it's through partial filling, operation, things of that nature, that's fine if they want to put their name on it to say it can stand up. It's always been my understanding it's in poor condition. We need to take it down. I believe the report said it wasn't imminent, but it should be taken down as soon as possible. Something to that effect. I'd have to look back at the exact wording. So why stand? I don't feel that this whole design is based on 700,000 or slightly over 700,000 gallons in the air. And especially in the wintertime, to have three tanks going, it may lead to some other issues as far as stagnation, water quality, stuff like that, if the water's not turning over. So the goal tomorrow is we're having the engineers from Haley and Ward come down. We're having all the representatives from the carriers and to say, this is where we are. It's the first letter. I have that first letter that was sent, and I'll have copies of that. It's probably a year ago or 9 months ago or something like that. To say this was real then and it's just as real now, and you know,
right.
Shame on you guys
we
for
we
not
did contact
attention.
Them 9 months ago.
Yeah.
Okay.
And it's for the life of me, I can't figure out these leases, but I got to assume that if you're a cell phone carrier and you put your equipment on someone else's property, there's a risk involved with that.
Yeah.
What happens if you put your antennas in a church steeple and the church burns down? Yeah. There's a risk. It's not your tower. And that tower is no longer needed. It's obsolete. I know it's a rare case, but you know these are risks associated with that type of operation. So that will be an interesting meeting tomorrow. It's at 10:30 tomorrow morning. More to come on that.
So have you heard anything from Leo on this, Chris? Not to put you on the spot, but...
I've been talking with John Pickering from Alien Ward. Leo has had some personal issues. I believe that his wife is ill.
Oh, boy.
So he is, and then he has some issues himself. So he's had to basically call the same inspector up who did the first inspection, and he called up Bob Pickering and gave him a report on it. He told him what needed to be done if he could take over and handle it. Haley and Ward told the cell company that they weren't going to meet with him until they got paid for their prior work, and they wanted a check at the meeting.
From us?
No, from the cell company. And they said, well, we can't give you a check until we know how much it is, and how can I give you a check for if you haven't done anything? And they said, we have done work. You owe us for what's been done so far. And there was a lot of bickering going back and forth on that. And they said, well, how about Chris if they bill you? And I said, no, I am not getting involved with that. This is between you and them now. You deal with it the way you want, and I don't have the money to pay them and not get reimbursed. Because I have the treasurer has told me he will not reimburse me for something like that.
Has Haley and Ward given them an agreement saying it's going to cost X amount of dollars?
I don't believe they have yet. I think that's what's going to be, they're going to hand them at this meeting.
Okay.
Because there, I believe that they've been stuck by cell companies before.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why, you know, with these things quite a bit, because they are actually... I don't want to say friends of, or enemies of, but they're the reason why that they have to do so much more when they get on the water tanks. So, anyways, what I was going to say is, he is the one who put this all together. I mean, what they want to do, and we don't have the access to do it. He's asked if I would do it, and they said no, that they could have it done and everything. They want to dig up one of the foundations, one of the footings, to see actually how deep it goes, how deep it goes into the ground, because every drawing that we have, there isn't one that actually says how big the footing is. It just says concrete footing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not really sure the exact core, which you know they all are the same. And there must be something there, and I just might not have the right blueprint on it. So they need to get like a backhoe out there, dig up until the very bottom of it, and look to see how low it goes, so that he can be comfortably saying, yes, this will withstand the wind or something.
If it's not operational.
Yeah.
And not empty.
Right. I don't know. Maybe he's saying you can if it's empty, if it's this deep into the ground. I don't know. That doesn't sound right to me, but he's the structural engineer, not me, and he's going to be the one standing.
Does that compromise the footing? If digging it up and backfilling it?
Digging underneath it would, but not necessarily.
On the side?
They could hand dig once they get close.
Yeah, they want to tamp it back up as they're going back up.
So that
it's
compacted and lifts.
Compacted each lift, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess I'd be concerned about the age of that concrete, because I just look at some of the concrete that you can see, like around the valve vault, and that's just shearing off.
Yeah.
If they use the same aggregate, which all looked pretty big, it didn't look like there was a lot of... Concrete will fail when you don't have a good mixed distribution aggregate. It's all the same size. It has voids.
Yeah.
And if you look at, I remember the old vault in front of the tank.
He'll be there tomorrow.
Okay.
Also.
Okay.
So
Bill?
Bob Pickering.
Bob Pickering.
Yeah. And was it Wright? I'm trying to think of the man's name. Something Wright or?
Yeah, there was another one.
The gentleman who did the original structural report.
I said put it.
They came up with it and wrote it. Peter White? Peter Wright? Something like that.
I know, I'm just talking off the cuff. I don't have any, I can't remember exactly, I certainly couldn't quote it, but for the life of me, I remember being very shocked at the report that we got with Rick and George when we first saw that report from, it might have been a 2014 report or a 2015 report that we saw that said that tank's got to come down if it doesn't get repaired.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the urgency was on it, and I know there wasn't the word imminent in it. Russ has said he's gone over it. I don't remember it. But I know that I thought in my head and during that meeting was, my God, we got to take this tank down before it falls down. Yeah. And that was nerve-wracking for me.
Yeah, it's the metal loss on the turnbuckles.
Yeah.
Is what's got everybody. Yeah. And they were talking about cutting them turnbuckles out, welding
something
else then.
I mean, they had pictures. I know I can get, but I don't know where it is because I know I have it. The pictures and stuff that they sent us, and each of the reviews that they had. You have that again?
Yeah. That's what we use for the USDA application, that report. I want to say tanks should come down as soon as possible.
Yeah.
And this is the one time when you have to pay very close attention to the exact words used.
Mm-hmm.
And engineers are smart like this. They'll I probably would have used something similar because it's very difficult to put an exact time frame. But if you say as soon as possible or come down immediately or as soon as the tank's offline, things of that nature. If it doesn't have the word immediate, imminent, causing that level of urgency, that's their way of saying, well, it's not going to fall over tomorrow, but things got to come down. Hopefully that can be interpreted to work and could do its favor tomorrow. I mean, let's face it, they can either pay a couple $1,000 to Haley and Ward tomorrow or they're going to pay the legal staff probably a lot more than that. Once letters start flying and things go back and forth, it's just going to create headaches for everybody. And
but what you're saying, I've never seen that report. You're saying that what was identified in there is deficient, where the metal turnbuckle.
The metal loss over the years.
Okay.
I'll look for it. I'll get it.
It's pretty thorough.
Yeah.
You should look at it. Too.
That must have come out before I came on board.
It did.
It's what instigated the whole process that we're in right now.
Yeah.
So that's the goal for tomorrow, is try to get some clarity on that. I mean, at the end of the day, the day this goes online, if we don't have something from Haley and Ward saying it's okay to leave it up, I'm saying, okay, you know, Chris, I'm going to send an email to you, and I'll CC Mark saying we recommend you send the letter out. And I've made my recommendation, and then our GHD's recommendation, then Katua can forward it to legal, and then we forward it to them, and just we keep moving with the process. You know, especially now at that time, that'll be probably 4 months that AT&T hasn't paid for you. So that has another strike to them.
I mean, when we did get together the other time at the office, and I want these guys to know that it's not our intention to harm them. We've been trying for 9 months to get them.
We tried to give them plenty of time.
Get in, you know. Said, let's go, boys. We want you to have everything that you have here to meet the guidelines and not interrupt some federal communications guidelines or laws that say that we need to have this up the safety of the community.
They probably could have had those temporary towers permitted.
They probably could have.
Had they started.
Probably could.
They got that first letter.
It would have been long by already.
But,
okay.
And so in the meantime, the permanent tower we're talking about is a year away.
6 months to a year.
Okay.
Its initial discussions have been good. U.S. Wireless is working on its application package now. That'll be submitted to the town, and then it goes through the review process. The more support and more favor we get from residents and officials, it'll go faster. Residents would be the key one at some of these initial site plan review meetings. If once we get the dates and send the abutters letters out,
we'll get something out to them through the Civic Association too. And we had a good response for the three meetings that were at the Civic Association. Mm-hmm. We had no people opposed to it. Mm-hmm. I think at one point our rep did. She did go on record as saying she was opposed to it, but I don't know. Maybe coming to the meeting that she did come to and saw the response from the community that they were in favor of it. Maybe she's
any particular reason why?
I don't know if she ever said a reason why, but it doesn't. It's just one person in the community at this stage of the game. So, I mean, we just have to do our thing.
She did ask quite a few questions.
But they didn't show up.
They didn't come. The navigation stuff.
Which, it's the ratepayers aren't going to pay $800,000 to provide a navigational aid for the maritime industry. I think people are going to get back from the island just fine without it.
Yeah.
And they can always use their cell phone navigation app to find the way if the tower is up.
Things are a lot different than they were a long time ago for that.
So I got one, I'm trying to remember either in a conversation or something I read about that particular tank that was going to have to come down, that the concern, as I remember, was if we have a big storm, a big heavy wind, a hurricane or something like that, they would be nervous.
With the cell phone tower?
No, with the tank.
With the old tank.
The old tank.
With the old, I would be nervous too.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah, with the age of that.
They weren't thinking it was going to come down just overnight. It was one of those things that would be just, you wake up in the morning, it's not there. But if there was a big heavy storm, they would be not sleep well that night.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
You saw the one on Otisco.
Yes.
When the
top
flew off of that tank and landed on the middle.
There's a lot of water
road
around there.
There's a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'll be interested. We'll be interested to hear that, Chris. What's going on tomorrow after that meeting? That's great.
Some paperwork came through that I don't necessarily need a signed copy tonight, but if maybe you guys can pass a motion or think about signing it later after I leave, I can get it from Chris at a later date. But what that is a construction change order number 2. I think I mentioned a few times. It's basically all the items we removed from the bid: fencing, landscaping. Which those are required by DEP, and then we added in the cost of the logo. I believe the grand total was $51,000, $52,000 in that ballpark.
For all the changes?
For all the changes.
$50,900?
There will be a third construction change order. That's for a buried propane tank. We had to switch the generator. There's no natural gas on site.
Yeah. A 1,000-gallon or...
500-gallon? It's 500-gallon. A buried 500-gallon propane tank?
Yep.
Okay.
I believe that's installed and it's been filled up. I have to get the final cost, but the excavation, installation, fill up, I want to say it was in the $6,000 to $7,000 range for all that. I'm not aware of any other construction change orders. I saw a few things at the site that, Chris, I didn't want to talk to you about, and if we do have access to additional funds through the USDA. Might be some nice touches, paving, things like that. But, I don't know how much I like the stone around the valve boxes there going in.
Especially for plowing.
Yeah. But we can talk about that later on. There is an amendment number 1 from GHD, which is really mostly additional inspection services. Just it took a lot longer than Marathew anticipated with the painters out there. It just was a longer and a slower process. I did get very favorable reports back from them, though. There was very little as far as areas that weren't thick enough. It sounded like they did a very good job when they were there.
Yeah.
So that's good to hear. But that was for $9,000 and some odd dollars, $9,000. And then the last bit of paperwork is the contract with Open Cape. That's the original one that I believe discusses using the Santua tank. That's when we had that stipulation for the $100 a month. It basically offers, it doesn't say $100 a month, it gives a service rate. And once Steve explained it to me, it was very clear it was actually more beneficial. They're providing up to a certain amount of service per month. And it exceeds what Cthulhu will ever use. It's a tremendous amount of capabilities. So that would be good. I have been talking with Steve. I'm trying to get the actual contract. At one time, he said they sent the proposal over for the physical installation of all the conduit, 160 or 100 something. He said that could be signed and authorized, but I asked him for another copy, and I haven't heard back. I never remembered seeing a document that could have been signed. He did send over a few numbers and some sketches, things like that. But hopefully for next meeting that that document will be here. We may not necessarily need to sign it next meeting. I think we still have a few months because we're coming into the winter now and it might be looking at more springtime installation.
Yeah. So we're at the point where we need to sign this document anyways.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been reviewed about 300 times, hasn't it, Chris?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys met a meeting. I wasn't
seems like you said they're over the level on it.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's totally up to you guys there. I just had something different that came when I was thinking about this.
Sure.
The repeat of the sheriff's department that's over here, and I had offered him Ralph's.
Well, Ralph, yeah.
Yeah, if he wanted to put it at either one of the other tanks, I didn't mind.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's for public service.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, you know, something, they come in maybe once a year to do something, it's down.
Yeah.
And they're very, they call me up to let me know they're there, they let me know when they're leaving and everything else. It's not the same as the cell companies, believe me. I told him that it was going to be within a year. I kind of forgot about it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that just as a courtesy, I might want to give him a call and tell him, hey, you've got to think real quick where you're going with it. And I don't think they're going to be putting something into the tank. He might want to see if, I don't think they're getting one, I should say. Let's see if they could have something brought in at the same time for the repeater.
Mm-hmm.
There would be one to put over there.
Does the repeater run a fiber optic?
That's something I'd have to ask him, yeah.
Okay. All right.
But it just dawned on me that you know, they don't pay us a charge to do it. We've never charged them.
Sure.
Like
sure.
That.
No, I agree. Well, let's put it this way. I'll try to get that contract for the next meeting, and if people want to sign it, then we can, and we can push as hard as we want to on it. Maybe we can get it done sooner in the springtime as far as the conduit installation.
Okay.
Who knows what the winter's going to hold? Sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. Just the way it is.
Yeah.
So, with that. If we're looking at potentially, you know, a completed springtime date with the fiber optic, one of the things we need to do next is, and we went out to Chatham to look at the way it was set up, is to basically do our portion of the work, which is to look at each one of the sites, determine the number, how many, what angle, where they go, types of cameras, what needs to be either retrofitted or new equipment to get the SCADA connections, the physical plugs that go in and out, what the information is that's going back and forth, what are we communicating, how do we retrofit the radios to do a serve as a backup. And the way that we did it for Chatham, for both, I believe, the treatment plant and the community center was, it was almost a design build the way it went, and we used we went out to bid for the municipal services for the physical installation of the cameras. So the first phase, the first thing we're doing is basically the on-the-ground type of assessment, which is coming up with a game plan, maybe a simple sketch of each one of the sites, where the cameras are going, what the specs are on the cameras, submit it for review and comment. We get that tuned up, and that basically becomes what we get our bid on.
Mm-hmm.
And then as we're developing that first phase, we can give you, that's when we'll start working with the probable construction cost. So if we know right off the bat, we want to cap it at $100,000. We want to cap it at $200,000. I don't think it's going to cost anywhere near that much, to be honest with you. And this is fiber optic side.
Yeah.
Fiber optic, I think 187, I want to say, or one in that neighborhood. This is on top of that. I don't think it's going to be anywhere near that figure. But we just need to identify a top budget that we can't exceed, that we can base on, because we don't want to design, you know, something grandiose if we know it's not going to happen. But I think it's, with the grant, there's going to be plenty of funds to do that. So you
envision us going out, you saying that they will go out for bid on cameras and the actual installation of that portion of it?
Yeah, there was two vendors that did it for Chatham, for example.
Okay.
And this is actually a little bit new to me. I wasn't aware that GHD does the design build, but that Dustin, our SCADA guru that we met with a few weeks ago, he says it's really the cleanest, the best way to do it. Again, everyone's going to have an opinion on how we do it, but that's how we'd recommend to do it. That initial assessment's going to be in the probably $25,000 range, but that's basically going to serve as your design plans. I'm still working with Dustin to get those hard costs.
It'll work as our design plans. That
pretty much, yeah. That'll be your design, your basis of design. That's what we're going to go off of.
So on that design build, did you specify, you know, what capabilities the cameras had and what angles and everything, and then let them bid on that?
Correct. After sitting down with Chris and decision makers,
yeah,
on seeing, you know, what do we want? Do we want, you know, what angle of zoom do we want? Do we want 360 panoramic? There's all these different functions
what's
you can do with it. How much record time? What's the resolution?
Yeah.
You know, all these little nitty gritty details. We're obviously going to sit with you and go over it, pros and cons. What is it? And I don't think the cameras cost very much.
I don't think they did either. When we looked at them originally, which is going back a ways, I think they were running between $500 and $900.
Yeah.
We don't think they were crazy.
Yeah.
I expected a lot more out of them.
Yep. So we can go over what each ones are. And the one thing that Chatham did say to us was, they said, believe me, more is better.
Mm-hmm. It is, yeah.
More is better. So one of those, you know, TV monitor, they probably had a 32-inch TV monitor. And they didn't have it filled up with all the little squares. And even though it's a small square, you can still see if there's a vehicle there. Sure. Someone who shouldn't be there is there. Then you can blow up on it. I mean, there's a million different features.
Yeah, you can
do
isolate one, or you can just isolate a group of them.
Yep.
You can isolate one station, and you can do whatever you want.
Yep. Yep. And we'd set up the, you know, we'd get you the monitors and do all that sort of stuff and get it all set up. So that's in the works.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Russ. Sorry for that. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
No, go ahead.
Yeah. Vic, and when we were down there, they did bring up a good point, Chris, and I don't remember us the first time you and I went down there and looked at that, but they did bring up a good point of it, of the employees, you know, issues with having cameras, and putting the monitor in a place where everybody can see the monitor as opposed to in your office or in a closed area that's not accessible to all the employees all the time.
Okay.
Really makes it so that they feel like, you know, Big Brother's not watching them all the time, if that makes any sense. I suppose it did.
Yeah.
From what was his name?
Val,
right. Mm-hmm. Val's standpoint. And then you would have access or be able to monitor it also through
your computer.
We're going to get you another computer, so you're going to have something else.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's something you could take home.
Yeah, you're going to have
you get
something.
You get an alarm.
Else.
You can call it up and look at what's
you're going to have the brown box.
Yeah.
You're going to have
the. You can do it right on your phone. We can get a field tablet, something that
nuclear,
you know, one of the durable cases. Sky's the limit, you know. I think we finally
got a bunch of those cameras spread around the town of Sandwich. At,
sure.
You know, and at the police station, they have a pretty good size. And they have pretty big blocks, and they sit there and watch all kinds of things.
Oh, I bet you see it all.
And then you see they send the cruiser out there, and they go, and they point up to where the camera is, and all the kids go.
Got them with all the hot spots.
That's not good.
But you'll be able to see when that Fisher runs up the tower.
So yeah, I mean that first assessment is probably going to take us about 3 months or so. So it'll kind of play along nicely with the installation of the underground fiber and all that. So that's it. That's my report.
You good?
What did I forget?
How big a conduit?
I don't think so, Russ. I think you did good.
Sorry.
How big a conduit is that?
2-inch diameter.
Okay.
Yeah. Fairly small.
Yeah. Just plastic.
Yeah. PVC. Take them if you found them tonight. If not, I can, if Jen can send me a scanned copy tomorrow.
Okay, so I'm signing on this
one. Yes.
And
the license agreement, if you want to hold on to that one and have Jen scan an email to me, I'll forward it to Steve. He'll probably need an original or maybe even multiple originals, but at least.
Okay. I think we're ready to go anyways, but we'll let us talk about this, and then we'll take care of that, Russ.
Yeah.
We'll do this. We're good to go.
So
there
was one thing on here that says solar update. Everything's going fine with that. There's no issues. Or
so that's
exactly.
I know, but I just.
You haven't heard
anything. Zach and Andy.
No one's heard anything about anything.
Yeah. There's a few things that we can go over. One of them won't get to that, but they're not here. But we can talk as to what's going on.
Yeah. Just my 2 cents on that. It's a similar development as a cell phone tower where you're not going to be charged anything, and all these projects hit some level of red tape.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes up to the developer how much he's willing to absorb.
Yeah.
So depending on the level of red tape, it's a risk versus reward.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If their profit's going to be $1 million and it's going to cost them $50,000 to get through this nonsense, well, that's a pretty good deal.
Yeah.
But if it's not, if that starts to balance out, then it turns pretty quick. So I guess the question to Zach, if the district or the commissioners are really for it, the best thing they can do is support Zach and
mm-hmm.
or support Borrego and say,
yeah,
we'll come with you to these meetings, we'll do this, we'll do this. But, you know, you're the one that's going to incur. We're not prepared to pay anything,
yeah,
you know, to do extra maps or extra meetings.
Sure.
Or this is all on you.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't want to do it, we understand. It's a tough battle.
Yeah.
And U.S. Wireless is going to be facing the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought just to let you know, too, today, I don't know if Borrego is further along than Chris might be, but I think it's because it says Dempsey Mill Road on the application that he sent in. I got CC'd in a letter from William Galvin today with a suggestion that they do a archaeological survey over there and hire someone to do an intense one. Because as it is not historical and not, it is a known passageway with the old King's Highway there, and because it's off the road to the old King's Highway, besides colonial people going through there, there's also the route of the Wampanoag Indian going from Santuit River to Little River.
Hmm.
So there is proximity to Native American archaeological finds. They want this done. So they're going to run into this. They're going to have to hire someone to come out there and do the survey and everything else. So it's getting to be a little more...
More than the surveys he already had done, because he
right.
said he had some research done on that
right.
particular issue.
Right. So now we've got another one, and I just got CC'd on it. I just put it in the file after reading it. It said that they had nothing about historical area on there or anything else. They just, because of the proximity of everything else, they wanted to. And I got CC'd on the Wampanoag tribe leader got CC'd.
I've had that in a few projects, and they basically have to get an archaeologist out, and they'll do a little bit of digging. You
yeah.
take a scoop down out the trench, they dig and dig, and then you say, okay, scoop some more. You dig and dig, scoop some more. I mean, this, but the only subsurface items out here, are those ballasted, or are they going to be footings for the panels?
They're footings. They're like,
Yeah. Like I said, there's red tape involved with it.
Yeah.
They're willing to fight
I
through
think,
this.
I think they've done that before, though, from what I understand. They've been involved in those type of surveys before. I don't think those things scare them off at all.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm sure these guys are.
They're in the middle of those at all mm-hmm. the time.
So they just have to go out there and dig a bunch of holes and
yeah.
see what they find.
There may be some preliminary screening they do out there, but... yeah, like I said, it's red tape. And
okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Okay. Thanks,
thank
Ross.
Thank you very much.
Yeah.
Thank
you.
Don't forget your phone.
Yes.
Yeah.
10:30, I believe, will be written down.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ross.
Maybe I'll see you later. All right. I'll be there. Okay. All right.
Just a little information that I do have on Borrego. They're prepared to move forward, and what held them up or in the first meeting was the fact that there was a map that had the solar overlay map.
Yeah.
And what the solar overlay map was for the community of Barnstable, it basically was the solar field at the airport and the solar field at the dump on Flint Street. And from what I understand, all really they're going to be looking to do is to get somebody to sponsor
it's not a bill, but it's an amendment to the solar overlay, which they do.
That's a change, yes.
They do regularly.
Yeah.
And so we would be looking to utilize one of the precinct 1 through 13 people to try and help them do this. And there's numerous people here that are helpful for solar. It's not, you know, it's not an issue. I think Jessica probably would be great to have first.
Yes.
But if Jessica is not interested in supporting that, I'd be more than happy to contact John Norman, and who is also the next person.
Mm-hmm.
I've known John Norman for a long, long time. And he's an honest-minded guy, so he would, I'm sure, help us. So.
Is there a town of Barnstable commission that works on solar projects? I just caught wind of this, and I didn't have time to dig up the information. And it sounds like there's a town-wide commission that should be working on solar projects around the town of Barnstable.
Uh-huh. CVEC?
Pardon?
Are you thinking of CVEC or anything like that?
No, I'll try and dig this information and send it out to Jen where we can share it. But I just ran across this.
That would be, if you could run that down, and we can get that information in Zach's hands. And what Russell said is true. We've supported all the way for what Zach wants to do and Borrego wants to do. Now it's up to them.
Yeah.
I don't mind telling you, I'm a little disappointed in the work that we had that they got done in the beginning, that Zach would walk in there for the first meeting and all of a sudden he would find out that there's an overlay map for solar. I mean, look, I like Mark, I thought we put that to him to review that.
Yeah,
maybe it's not his spot to do it, but I would like to have known that ahead of time.
He was more worried about the going from a not paying taxes to paying taxes on the property.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That was more of his interest because of the type of property it was. I don't know. I don't remember anything about an overlay district. I mean, overlay zoning.
Well, yeah. I don't think Zach and Borrego is really too nervous about making an attempt to get this map changed.
Okay.
It's something that they
do.
They're willing to do.
Yeah.
The best that we can do is give them some support. I mean, so in your packets there's a list of the precinct.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you know any of them. Jessica, of course, I know, and John Norman. But these are people that at some point in time, so that they don't get blindsided by what we're bringing, what Zach's bringing to the council meeting on November the 3rd. We just could contact some of these people. And I'll go to John Norman first and find out and try to help with that and see, you know, if John would be willing to sponsor it. We kind of get to the point here. I mean, I just want to be sure. I mean, that I don't want to be talking for you, Vic.
Yes.
And I don't want to be talking for you, Don. I want to be sure that we really, I mean, outside of the fact that they're cutting down a bunch of trees, and I'm with you on that, we have got to try and do something here, in my mind, to pay for this freight around here. And that's one of them that we can use and utilize that property to do that. I don't want to displace any animals or any other stuff, but that property is there for the protection of the wells and for the working of the water department. I'm not advocating one side or the other. I'm personally in favor of doing it, at the same time, I hate taking the trees down. Because I'm an outdoorsman, I love to hunt, I love to fish, I love to be out there, I love to do all that stuff. But that's, I want to know what you guys want, honestly, and maybe you could plug us in tonight so that I feel like if I'm ramrodding this thing, that I'm ramrodding it because of the right reasons.
I think there's a couple of questions around it yet that I may have been answered, and I don't remember the answer, but do we have any assurance that if this gets built, that the revenue will go to support the water district and not go into some general coffers that we're not going to be able to access?
Well,
no.
I don't think that anything that we do goes to support the water department when it comes to revenue. Everything that we do for revenue has always and will always go into the general fund. Anything that we got for the years for the tanks and all the leases and everything goes to that. Anything that we've ever done, we chased down at one point for many years a settlement, an MBTE settlement, that came back to us to the tune of $2.6 million. And at that time, we were building the other tank. We could have used that money to offset the tax rates to make a lot of difference in what we actually had to pay or what we had to borrow, but of course we didn't do that. And then all of a sudden, exponentially, our tax rates went up. Do you remember this, Chris? Yeah. And so that was because it went into the general fund and that money wasn't used for the betterment of the water.
Yeah.
And I think it needed to be, but I can't change the system. You know.
Yeah,
I
hear you exactly. But at the same time, we're being pressured to make the water department essentially self-sufficient in revenue. And right. Here's a source of revenue that we're not going to be able to put on our plus side of the books.
I'm with you, but I think it's going in there, and we have to remind them of that each time we go to the town. Every time we go to the annual meeting, we have to remind people that these are projects that were spearheaded and are part of the water district to help offset these expenses. So when they start talking about the other things that are taking place, we're supporting ourselves, but we're supporting the district, and we don't mind doing that.
We just need to know.
We just need them to know that it's stuff that we developed.
Yeah. That we put a lot of time and effort and used the resources as wisely and as conservatively as possible to show how we are making an effort to be self-sufficient.
Yeah.
Even though the money isn't actually going to it, we are generating the funds to cover the expenses, that we could do it that way. It should be a mantra we have every district meeting, like you say. I know when we first came up with this idea about was first brought to us about the solar field, I was excited because I've seen a lot of them go up. I'm involved with two or three projects in the town of Sandwich through the inspection process,
right,
and the plan review one. And and when they first came to us with all the different parcels and talked about a huge amount of money, it was almost intoxicating, but the reality is, when we sit back and look at what our need is and what we're trying to accomplish and trying to conserve, as much open up much land in its natural state as possible while still taking advantage of this opportunity, this seemed to me like when we settled on is the best mix that covers everything.
Mm-hmm.
I think we've satisfied, covering the expense that we wanted to do. I think we kept it as small as we could to do that. I didn't think we got greedy about it. I think it's away from all the properties, so it's not going to affect anyone's properties. I think it's the best possible way to do it, is what we're doing.
Okay. Vic, do you have more? I mean, I wish I could wave a wand and make that money go to the water department, but I can't do it.
Well, yeah, and I'll preface this, and I agree that we ought to move ahead with the project, but being that, I guess a little bit of a pessimist here. If we end up raising the rates for the water company, what's going to come directly back to us is, you're getting all this new revenue from the solar field and the cell tower you're putting up, and I can picture people coming up to us and asking us that question, and our explanation will be, well, that money doesn't go to us; it goes into the general fund.
Well, remember,
and maybe that's being a little bit of a pessimist.
I'll give you some ammunition. Remember, Vic, that when we take down this tank, our revenue of $105,000 is gone.
Oh, I know. I know.
So yeah. it's not like we're taking some new kind of revenue. We're, believe me, if we took that tank down and we didn't replace the revenue, you're going to have more squawking going on because there's less money to spend in town. Somebody's going to be shorted. The library's not going to get 15 Gs.
Yeah, no, I know.
You know, somebody's going to lose it, and it's not going to be the water department.
Yeah.
The water department's not going to suffer at all. You can lose $100,000 in revenue, and then we're going to replace it.
Yeah.
We're going to go to the townspeople and say, hey, this is our budget. And they're going to have, you know, they're going to, I mean, we do nothing in terms of increasing budget around here.
No.
We work on the same austerity program that we've worked on for the last 20 years. So,
all right.
I hope that's, if you can look
at that, I hope that the right thing to do, Chris, is, and I don't know this
for a fact, but I'll give Jessica a call and I'll give John Norman a call. Is, if that's the right thing, I don't know whether I'm allowed
to
call
Zach,
them.
Yeah, he says if you could present or get a town councilor on your side, it would be the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that the email that he sent?
That he sent to Jen.
Mm-hmm.
That said he did speak with you last week. It seems like you're both on the same page, he said. So he kind of put it out. He says, number one, a town council member, that you need a town council member to sponsor a change to the zoning map, specifically the solar overlay district which currently allows solar at the dump and the airport, which are the two places in Barnstable already with solar. So,
what about the college? Is that
the college has them there.
The
sewer plant has them there, underneath the other stuff. I don't know.
I believe
the sump dump is trying to put them in there right now, and they're close enough to the dump that I think they're in that district, the overlay. But I don't know enough about it. He says, then we will draft a change to the overlay district to allow for solar on your two parcels. We then present to the town council. The council will send us to the planning board, who will make a recommendation to the town council. The town council will then vote to approve or deny the motion to the overlay district. He said it would be great to discuss this at a meeting, and certainly before. Anything I can do between now and then to extend some calls to members of the town council would be great. From my standpoint, if we can get a town council member to sponsor us, we will move forward, but are looking to the board to help us take the right first step.
Okay. Now, there's a difference between getting someone to sponsor it and then notifying all of them.
Yeah, I'm gonna have to talk to Jessica, and I'll talk to John Norman. John Norman, Precinct 12. Someone Precinct 12 is here in Kituit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he has
an interest.
Yeah, he has an interest in this. I may even try John. I bump into him pretty regularly, so. I may see him down at the coffee shop.
Yeah. But they would have advice as far as whether we should send out a packet of information and contact.
To each of these?
All of them.
Yeah, right.
You know, just to say, this is coming up, and this is what we would like to do, and this is why we're doing it. And so they have a little bit of, it's not going to be a surprise.
Right.
No. Right.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. The other thing about solar, just to bring up, is that net metering credits that we're involved with through CVEC.
Yeah.
I have sent Austival's plan intergovernment plan, it's called, I believe, that hooks us up. It's got everything. Their lawyer's gone through everything on there. It's at the end stages. So what I did is I called Mark yesterday and said, would you hook up with Doug Murphy and basically just say, what have you done? What's here? Can we use the same thing? Because this is what we were advised to do.
Do you mind if we use the same thing and just change the numbers and the names? And I told him that that would be fine with me if he had no problem doing it. He says no problem at all.
Okay.
So comms guys have done all the work. We haven't had to pay for any of it. We will have to pay for a final review with Mark, probably an hour or two, maybe an hour on a phone call, something to that effect. But I'm a little disappointed by it. And the kicker at the end, Tom and ourselves are hooking up, and I didn't realize that we are jumping to a host, and the host is the town of Orleans on this project. They are the ones who negotiated everything in the beginning through CVEC, and they did not want the credits to be put on their electric bill. They wanted a check given to them at the end of the year with the amount. And I said, whoa, 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 I'd rather have it the other way. And they said, oh, well, they've hooked it up and wrote it that way. They're going to write a check to CVEC, and CVEC's going to divvy the money up between everybody. So, as Vic just said, the metering credits that we get, it's going to say Kituit Fire District on it, and it's going to be put into the general fund. Every year, we're still going to have to ask for the same amount of money on our electric bill. It's not going to have any kind of 10-cent discounted rate per kilowatt hour or anything. We're going to get the money back at the end of the year, and it's going to get put into the general fund. So, yes, we're bringing in more money there, but we might get, 10%, 20% back in a check. It won't be directly affect us walking into the district meeting like I would have liked to have seen it, saying that we dropped, our electric down this much by doing this.
Yeah.
Instead,
which would have been a nice way.
Right. It would have been nicer for us.
Yeah,
where a town like the town of Orleans just wants, I want the money. What happens if something happens over here? I want the money. I don't want anybody else involved with it. I want you to give me the money. But we'll get it for 20 years, something to that effect.
Memories dim over time, that's for sure. So
it's
constantly
not
reminding the Prudential Committee and whoever else, why that money's been generated, I think will be paramount.
Yeah.
If we do not get involved, and, we come to them and we need more money for this or that.
It'll be on record that, we're making the deposit from CVEC. We're making the deposits from Borrego. We're making deposits from U.S. Wireless. Each of these that are coming out, and there's going to be an account for these things, like we have an antenna fund, I believe, or at least a general fund account, and we keep it on a ledger at our office. So we'll always have those figures, too.
Yeah.
So it can always be an arguing point when we go in on that March meeting or whatever it is to say, hey, listen, we're doing our best. We'd love to have you work it so that we could put it back into us in some way.
Let me ask you this question.
Sure.
And I don't know how accurate this is going to be because it may have changed since I was involved with it, but the fire department gets ambulance receipts because they bill the insurance companies. That's bringing money in.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that they earmarked that for certain things, and it bypasses the general fund. Is that true?
They have what they call a library fund. An ambulance fund.
Yeah, ambulance fund.
Yeah.
Whether it's replacing.
When we, just for our information, we have an application. When you come in to do it, we have a $600 assessment fee. Right away, when you walk in the door, you sign it. That is supposed to go from houses from 1974 beyond. It's supposed to go back, and it's supposed to help pay for different things. And it was supposed to go into a fund. So we always had that to put new water mains in.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's great. We've been doing this since 1974. I think it was when Ted first came on. We went to Agnes and said, listen, we have that appropriate, whatever fund it is, that we've put all this money into here from our assessment fees. And we'd like to take some money out of that. She goes, there is no, you guys would have had to go to the State House and made a, some kind of, you had to change something to do that, and nobody ever did it. So we have a piece of paper that says this assessment funds for this and that, but it all goes to the general fund. There is no account that it goes into, because legally you have to send something into Boston. Boston has to change some legislation for it to happen. So you have to get them to come down and make the ruling, and it was never done. So I don't know if the fire department did it. In other words, I doubt that the fire department went out and did it. I imagine they said to Agnes, hey, can you put a fund together for the fire department? Sure. And I think it happened just as much as that.
Yeah.
Good question for the Prudential Committee.
So I know where I work, they collect over $1 million a year, and that goes out to the general fund.
Right.
It just does.
Yeah. They have to, I mean, and I can look, I'm pretty sure if you have, if you have the report, the report's on there that says what the fire department brought in, and it'll say on it where, probably in there where it went.
We just have to make sure that when we stand up to the annual meetings, we got our ducks in order and we know what was brought in from each of those things when we're asking for a budget. We very rarely have any issues with having our budget approved anyway. I can't remember a time that we have had on wood. I mean, I'm glad of that. I don't think we've ever had a time where the people have had an issue with our budget, and I don't think the people understood what we actually took in anyways, even the $100,000 from the antennas. I would be willing to bet the majority of the community has no idea that we have income coming off those tanks, and that's income that was developed by John and Rick and Jack and all the guys that were part of this years ago, or even that the community understands that John developed the chemical system that we have that takes care of our pH. And that was developed by one of the guys here, and nobody gets credit at the water department,
No.
These are all things that took place that, nobody knows of.
So, Chris, you feel like we're ready to sign the GHD extras? I mean, I know we added a little bit of a
I believe
on that, but how are we doing with Mike and this program?
I received an email, and I don't know if he CC'd you guys in on it at all.
No,
His plan is to pay the $180,000 with the grant money that we have currently on the books.
Say that again?
He's going to pay the $180,000 that's on the books out of grant money. That means the $180,000 is going to disappear.
We're not going to get the $180,000 plus the grant money.
Correct. That is what his plan is.
How can you
that's
do that?
That's not correct. You can't do that. We're going to have to talk with him.
That money was voted on by the
He's never, because we have never come to him and said, listen, we're starting the project, the money has never been borrowed.
The money is,
I don't care.
Right. Yeah.
The money has never been borrowed.
No. It's on the books, and it's okayed to be borrowed, and he's not going to take it and stop paying on it until we use it, until we need it.
But we're going to need it, and Mike listens to this tonight because I'm going to hand him the bill.
All right.
The bill's over $180,000, and he's going to pay it out of the grant money. He cannot take the grant money someplace else. The grant money's got to go towards what we have. That's the way I understood it.
This is the way we wrote it, the grant, as tank, land acquisition, and security.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the reason why we wrote it like that was because if you have that in the borrowing process, you can use the money for any of those projects.
And we're going to.
They did not give us a loan of $2 million.
our project was 2.35, mm-hmm. if I remember right.
We dropped 2.1.
Yeah.
So it came to 2.1. So the loan is not even enough to pay for the project of the tank.
Well, we dropped off all that incidental stuff to get down there.
We dropped down extras like the fence and all that stuff that we're writing orders now to redo.
To make it $2 million.
To make that thing line up so they're safe.
I thought we brought it down to 2 something.
And then the balance, now that we've got the additional funds, we'll go back to take care of that. And we still need the $180,000 to do the security.
He thought that the loan that came from USDA was going to be for the amount of tank and the land at least, because he wanted to get the low rate on it.
Well, it was. Right?
I know we don't have, what was it, 230,000?
Well,
what did they decide on?
175,000? No, in the fund to buy the property.
How much was the property? 235,000, something like that?
That sounds more like it.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So this should be like 2.45.
Oh, that was added on to the tank money?
Yeah, it was 2.1. Oh,
over and above is what he felt the application should have went in at. I don't know what the application, if I remember right, they told him that there was a cutoff on the application.
We didn't need to do over and above because we have $182,000 still left in the security system. That's why we didn't do it.
Well, yeah, but he asked if we could put the land purchase in there.
Well, that was on top of it, right?
Right. So the land purchase money was supposed to be on top of that also. I don't know if there was a limit. I wish Russ was still sitting here so I could ask him why, you know, it was put in at, I don't know if it was put in at 2 million or if it was put in at 2.5. I think he put it in for 2.5 and they gave him a $2 million loan and $5,000.
Uh-huh. And they gave him $500,000.
And it would have covered everything, the 2.5.
Correct.
So
there may be money left from the funds, the grant funds, but I don't know if we get the grant funds if we don't spend them. Is that what Mike's saying? Think he's saying that?
All I'm doing is I look at this is that we have water tank construction appropriated $2.1 million.
Yes.
So whatever it is that he borrowed above that, we should be getting 2.1 million, not just 2 million. We should be getting 2.1 million.
Yes.
Okay, because that's not what you said.
No. I don't.
We had to spend the $2.1 million to get the extra $500,000 of grant money.
Right.
So we probably need to have like a talk with Mike.
Yes, I will give you, I have to search for the email, and we're going to have either a sit down with Mike and maybe Prudential. I'm not really sure. There's something going, there's a lack of communication between how we have an expectation that the $500,000 is over and above.
It is.
Which he has no expectation of that, I don't believe at all. He thinks the grant money is to pay off other debt.
When's the Prudential come in?
How the hell can that happen?
Because you won't have to take it's to pay off the notes that's already been used.
That's what he's saying.
He's saying to pay the note off that paid for the Barnstable Land Trust, to pay the notes off that he's borrowed that's paying for the tank.
Correct.
We can use that grant money to do that.
Which you can't.
What's that?
You
legally can't do that.
I myself was told in the beginning you couldn't spend the grant money until you used up the loan money.
Without modifying that grant language, you can't do that.
I think you're right, Vic.
Well, I'm not positive. I know that Mike's worked with USDA before, but I don't know.
I suggest
he said he has at least.
We sit down with the Prudential Committee and Mike so that we all get on the same page. Because I don't think we are at this point.
Just for Mike, we did not have one penny of grant money when this stuff was, when the budget was made.
Right.
No.
The district voted to appropriate money for a number of things.
The reason
to appropriate, to get the land for the land trust,
mm-hmm.
to build a water tank. We have, in the past, we've got money, they said, okay, money for generators, money for security system, money for meters.
Yeah.
That's all money that was, whether it was actually physically borrowed yet, it was earmarked and it's available to us as we need it.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be part of our tax base. That's how we're paying for it. Now we have an opportunity has come up for us to benefit through a grant, to have some money that, as my understanding was, when we first went through the process, it was going to go to help with our infrastructure after, and help pay for some extra things for the tank after we exhausted the funds that this grant was based on.
Right.
So part of the funds this grant was based on was security funds. We can't have used that grant money until that money that we already were supposed to spend has been exhausted.
I don't know if that 182 is in that.
Well, I think it was, because I remember one of the things we talked about at that meeting, and I said, and we have $200,000 for the security and Rush goes, oh, good point. That added up the total, and so the percentage that grant money went up higher because that was part of the total package. So that grant money was not to be used until the money that's appropriated for these things is exhausted. So he can't take the money out that has to be exhausted before we can use the grant money and use the grant money to pay for it, to use it that way. It has to be used.
He's trying to eliminate the 182 in the fund for the security is what he's trying to do. He wants to walk away from that commitment.
He put in a loan for $2.5 million. They only gave us a loan for $2 million. And $500,000 is grant money. So in the state side, they've given us $2.5 million.
So he messed it up.
That's what Mike has gone on record and said.
Mike?
But their engineer screwed up, he should have asked for more.
Their engineers or Mike?
They're saying that our engineers did.
Now hold it, Mike, just say what you said. Mike put in...
Mike didn't put in for any. Russ filled out the application.
Yeah. For $2.5 million.
For $2.5 million, a $2.5 million loan application to USDA.
That was for the tank, for security, and for water mains and stuff like that.
Yeah, and it's also said land purchase on it, because Mike came to us and said, if we could throw that in there and I can get a great rate on this land, he said, at the same time, please add it in with the USDA application. I have not borrowed the money on it yet. So he asked if he could do that, and we said, sure, we'll put it on the application. That's why it went to the 2.1 plus the 2 plus the 1. Everything else is on now.
All right.
I don't know if USDA says, well, we'll give you 200, 2.5, but 500 is going to be a grant. Or if they said, you know, we're only going to give you a certain percentage of the loan.
So essentially what you're saying to me, Chris, is that if tomorrow you had a bill for $50,000 for cameras and equipment for the security, and you went to take it off of the existing 182 that we have left over for it, he's going to deny payment.
No, he'll get it paid.
Oh.
But he'll go out and get a note on it that says, you know, when certain funds come back, it'll be paid. He can work around that. He asked me a year ago, are you going to use that money this year? I said, I haven't used it in 2 years right now. There are talks about it.
We're getting close.
I don't see it. Yeah, we're getting close. He said, okay. 2 years ago, he came to me and said, do you need that money this year, do you think? He said, I'm not going to go out and borrow $200,000 and start paying, you know, whatever on it.
That's right.
So he said, there's no need for the tax people to have to pay taxes on money you don't need.
That's right. Exactly.
And I understood that. I said, I don't see myself doing it. That's the same thing with the road out here. We were doing the road money, the $200,000. I said, not until I get a solid date is it going to start. When I found out, I called him up. He said, okay, thanks. Boom, I'll go get the money.
Right.
Now, this is something that we never had to do with Agnes. You just sent her a bill, and she went out and got the money, and then it got, I don't know if people get paid late or how it happened.
All right, so just so I can tell you one of the things, and I thought we talked about it, we talked about some of the things we need to do with our infrastructure because of the treating we're doing for the water. We have to do stuff for the wellheads and all that stuff. It has hundreds of thousands of dollars expenses coming up. This is where I thought some of that money was going to go to cover that cost. We wouldn't go back to the district and ask them for all this money to pay for.
Right. Well, that's a good call.
I mean, that's what we're looking to try to offset the cost to the district.
Mm-hmm.
My God.
Okay.
No, I can't see how an argument to be made, whether it's paid here or paid there, it's going to be paid, and it's all going to wash out in the end. But it sure feels sneaky.
Well, it is confusing, that's for sure, as well as sneaky. I mean,
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I'd have a hard time explaining this in an open public meeting. And I wouldn't attempt to do it. I'd let Mike do it to somebody. I don't know how you would explain this.
I don't think we're going to. I think we're going to move right forward. We're going to hand the bill so we'll figure it out. I'm sorry. You're not going to pull a 182 when we're like, we have the document here on the table tonight to sign.
Right.
That puts us into that $182,000.
It says, on it right now, 2,900,000 on the bill that Russ just gave you with the changes.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that's a change order. And we got another one coming up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the third one.
The change order was $51,000.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was supposed to bring it below the 2.1 that we were already spending.
Yeah.
Because we only had voted 2.1.
Mm-hmm.
If we sign that, we're locked in now to money that we don't have voted on.
We do have voted on it. We just don't have it allocated to us. From what you're saying, from Mike Daly.
This is what I don't know. Is grant money for us to use willy-nilly? Is it for us to use it from, what is the definition behind it?
I never thought it was willy-nilly. I thought it was specifically in...
On the, yeah.
We have the money to build the tank and cut out some things so that money lined up, right?
Correct.
And now, because we have the grant money, once we spend all this $2.1 million, then the grant money can be used for other things
that have to do with the tank.
Do with that tank.
Yeah.
That can come from that grant money.
Right. I didn't mean willy-nilly. I meant on.
As long as
over and above
the language of
or
that
for us to use this grant money in this, do we have to go to the district and say, can we use this grant money for this, or can we make that decision?
I thought it was the water department. We went out and got it for stuff to deal with the water department. It was for the water department's infrastructure, for our pipes, for our maintenance, for our doing the stuff with the wells and the all that stuff. It wasn't for the whole district. This was for the infrastructure of the water department.
We also have a responsibility, whether we like it or not. These changes took place. They're done.
Yeah.
So we need to pay for them.
And like I said, I did take some money out of last year's budget for engineering.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But those bills that you're looking at there don't include engineering.
No.
That 2 point whatever.
Yeah.
That only tank construction.
Well, the majority of it is security of the tank.
Yeah.
So we'll take it out of security.
Which in the USDA grant, you're saying you're spending money on security, right?
Yeah. Well, that you can only spend on the named stuff. And if you would put down security, anything that has to do with the security would be fine. Yeah.
When you talk to Russ tomorrow, would he be able to clarify any of this stuff for you? As far as what the money was meant for, how it was applied for, how we can use it?
I can ask him. I believe that he is under the same impression as you. We are.
Yeah.
That it's an over and above, it's over and above. That $2 million that is there, you have grant money beyond. That 180 should be already off the books.
Yeah,
that shouldn't be included in this. The only reason security was written down on there was to finance over and above.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's not going to be able to pull the plug on that $182,000. That's all part of the security.
I have to see how Russ put it into the application. Because if he wrote it down $190,000, whatever, for security, if he wrote it down for $230,000.
That was over and above this money. That did not take the place of this money.
It's in addition to that.
It's in addition to that money.
Yeah.
It always was.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not sure of it.
So how do you think you want to handle this, Chris? You're functioning with this thing. What do you want to do?
He wants to go hunting.
I know. We need to go crab hunting, but we definitely need to.
We have to clarify some things.
Keep on
We're gonna have to sit down. I'm gonna have to get that email. Like I said, I'm looking at the email and the way he has it. I've talked to, he's got notes being due in November. The end of November, he has notes that have to start getting paid.
Mike Daly. Which is our notes.
Yes.
Okay.
The money that he's borrowed for the tank and I believe for the land purchase that have to start getting paid back. I have to start getting some money from USDA, which they're still going over the engineering paperwork that was sent in. Is the answer I got last week.
And Mike's response to you on this thing essentially is, you don't have the money. What are you going to do?
No.
Is that his response?
His response is, I plan on taking that 2.5 and paying bills.
All right.
That I have out there right now. That there's 180, 187 I'm going to do for security when it's time. There's
out of the grant money or
yeah,
out of the
he's saying out of the two point five that's there.
Well, we're going to take it out of this.
Out of wherever he can get it.
We don't care where he takes it. I mean, we got to have that. We're going to have a discussion with him.
Yeah. Like I said, I'm going to have to see.
We're not going to be guessing around. This $182,000 that's sitting here, it's been here for two years or 3 years. It's going to the security system. It's what the people wanted it to go to. Not Mike Daly.
It's
the way it is. I mean, I don't know. We need to meet with him.
Is not what it is, then we might not even have our packets because we don't have anything to work from. If we don't have line items that are actual, that money is not there.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not pointed at you. You don't think this wrong
way. This way. If he pays that with the grant money, anything that we want done, we have to go back to the public and say we need more money.
If he pays the security out of the grant money, not this money.
Right. If he has to still borrow that money.
Yeah.
If we go to him and say, listen, we need you to borrow the 187 now so we can pay this off. Because we have 150 something right here that's going to be in there.
Yeah.
After that, we're going to use some of the grant money to further our put cameras in and further our security system.
Yep.
Which is what was always what I believed it was got to be used for.
Yes. Yes. as did I. I thought grant money was for over
and
above.
It was on top of this.
Yeah. Exactly. And I thought the $2 million loan was a break on, you know, the 2.5 that we needed or whatever it is. I didn't think of it as grant money being paid from the original application. I didn't real. I still don't understand why we got $2 million when we applied for 2.5. The way I understood it and the way it was explained to me was if we put in an application for 2.5, they gave us a loan for 2.5 and a percentage of grant money.
Yeah.
To over and above. They never did that. They gave us a loan for $2 million and $500,000. So basically, I don't know why it came out that way. Somebody didn't understand something in the beginning.
Yeah. Well, we won't blame him. We're not blaming Mike or anybody for that.
We just want to make sure we're all on the same page.
Exactly.
So we're going to be okaying stuff that we can't pay for.
That's
we
what I'm
always
right.
We had the belief. I had the belief. That could be wrong. But what I believe was going to happen was that we're going to use that grant money to cover these things.
No,
and I just want to know that it's there.
Don, I kind of disagree with you. I think, didn't we believe that this agreement would be paid for with these funds right here?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So then, if there was anything over and above
that would be
the 182.2, it could
money.
Be grant money.
That's
and then,
exactly
if not, then, and then, so am I missing something here? Is he saying that he wants to take all the grant money and use it to pay all this and not sacrifice not getting all the grant money if he uses this?
He wants to take the grant money.
Does that make
like
any sense to you guys?
This is
what that email that I read, and I could be reading that completely wrong. He wants to take the grant money and pay for this.
Yes.
And the acquisition of the land.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, that's
yes.
Okay. The acquisition of the land is okay out of the grant money. We don't have that here.
That's not even.
No, but that was it was voted on by the people. It was
right.
Not in our budget, but it was voted on the people and part of the tax base.
Oh, I got you. I understand you now.
So that money is appropriate.
I understand you.
No, there's. There's
but
a difference of understanding that's pretty critical.
Yeah.
Yes.
So maybe we can structure some kind of a letter to the Prudential Committee or go there to a meeting. I mean, but we've got to get it on paper as to what we're talking about here.
We need a better understanding.
Yeah.
We really do, and we've been under the wrong, we've been under the right. We're looking at this as, don't get me wrong, extra money. And he's looking at it as payoff money.
Yeah,
exactly.
He's got to plug this 182 back into this mix. He doesn't get to move that someplace else.
We had a bid come in at 2 point something, 2 million, 200 and something thousand, or whatever, and we
yeah,
took out the fence
three.
Thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.3, and we got them to lower it down below the 2.1.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We needed to borrow
out.
201.
Yeah, we took the grass out, we took the fence
and
out.
And we don't, so we lowered it to there. We should have a loan still for 2.1.
Exactly, because we asked for 2.1 million based on what we were told by Russ that it should cost this much, and with contingency of a little bit extra, we should be safe at 2.1. And the bid came in with all the stuff we wanted, it was more than 2.1.
Yeah, 2.
So we had to cut a couple things out to get under in line with that money that we said we needed, that said that the district okayed for us to borrow, to appropriate. And then this whole process came up about this grant money. If we went through this process and we got the money, then we could put some of these things back in there and use that money for it. And then when we came up with the stuff we're going to need for the wells, that can go offset that expense so we wouldn't have to go back to the district and ask for more money, because all this stuff was already covered by money the district okayed to be appropriated.
Right. And
When is the next Prudential Committee meeting?
Oh, you're right. But I don't think that's his understanding. And I'm not sure that the
November 28th.
November 28th?
Yep.
Okay.
Because I believe they just met Monday night.
But they have bills coming up in November, right?
Yeah. This work right here that I have on these change orders, it's already been done. Most of it.
It is done.
The fence isn't up. That's the only thing.
The fence posts are up over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This all has been done with the anticipation. Mm-hmm. Now, if we have to, and we shouldn't, I don't see any reason, but, I mean, there's unanticipated costs in some of this and understandings that we can always figure something out.
So do we want to sign these tonight? Or do you want to wait one more day and talk to Russell and then get these, we can come in and sign them afterwards?
Best news is I think that my name's on.
Oh,
I don't know why. So, if you guys...
I want to pay the contractor.
Yep. That's what I'm saying.
I want to pay the contractor. And I want to get Mike on board with us on the security system. This can wait one more day. It's not an issue for me to
right.
wait on the license agreement.
We have to.
Right. It's not, it's well, but I don't want it to go any further. I want it to be done by the end, November 28th, that Mike understands that we're not giving up the $182,322.50. We can't.
Right. All right.
We can't. And if it means we've got to put a letter together to him, or, I mean, why is, I feel like sometimes we're afraid to talk to Mike, or Mike's not going to come around, and I'm not good with that. I'm not good with that at all.
Right.
He's got to talk to us.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, talk to us.
We're going to have to set up some kind
He's
of...
He's going to talk to us like we're human beings, not like we're some numbskulls out there.
Right.
Yeah. So. Okay. All right.
So I will talk to
How
Russ
do we do?
A little more and get a little more on okay. the actual
Vic,
application. I need some of the wording on the application, I think, and stuff. Probably not a good time to bring it up, but Friday in the Patriot, there'll be an article on it, on the USDA funding and everything.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So... If you get the chance, it says how nice they came up with some to help build the tank, purchase some land, and do a security system.
Good. In the Patriot?
It's going to be in the Patriot, yeah.
We look like heroes, but we got to get rid of Mike first.
We just got to make sure we're all working together.
Yeah. Right. Well, we have to all get on the same page.
Yeah.
So we have to, yeah.
I didn't get rid of anyone. I just want to make sure we work together.
I'm with you. I'm with being facetious. All right. Okay. Feedback from the Chatham Wastewater Facility Treatment Plant tour.
It was an awesome trip.
Yep.
Great trip.
Yeah. Yeah. They had pepperoni. They had pepperoni pizza there for us.
Oh, geez. When I went, all they gave out was
Diet Cokes,
brownies, and Kool-Aid.
I think we did good. It was a very good system. I mean, it's what we want to, it's what we want to duplicate. It's going to cost us $182,000.
$350,000.
And you'll be stuck with a laptop that you have to carry around, Chris.
Yeah.
Or a tablet. Yeah, or something.
It was yourself, Vic, and Russ that went toward it and saw their high-tech, top-of-the-line
We did.
Cameras.
We did. We saw the cameras. We walked around the entire facility, saw the locations of the cameras, how they worked, what they did.
Got on camera the entire time that you were out there.
We were.
You had somebody watching you from the room.
We were being watched.
I said this before.
Yeah.
Their piece of advice that stuck with me, too, was more cameras are better than fewer.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
And he said, you know, that they had skimped in a couple of places where he wished he had, you know, surveillance.
Yep.
Yeah. Something to consider.
Okay. That's the feedback from that. And we have, under old business, the rate survey.
I think you guys might agree that we're still at the same spot. There's not going to be any change made instantly here, but we have a good start on it with these increases of 9%, 12%, and 20%, which tells you exactly what's going on in terms of what the rate increases are. I guess we just need to get with the Prudential Committee and find out what they're thinking or what they may want us to do. And I'm not sure that we have to make any increases because we seem to have come in over top over the last couple years, is it now?
We come over the top with our operational budget, but we didn't address the insurance and the retirement aspect of
okay.
That.
Yeah. So there's more money there.
That's the part I think that, if my memory is correct, that if we can make up that amount of money with a rate increase, then we've done what we can do.
Did he say how much that was?
No, that's why I don't. That's why you have to find out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because just a
Jen
little
had
bit
an
of.
Idea, but
yeah. Maybe we can get an email off to Mike. Is it Mike again?
Yeah.
If you can get an email off to him, is to ask him what he thinks the dollar amount, the dollar value is that we would need to make things
to cover
the insurance
and the
cost from our side, and we have. Three different proposals. One would increase it the overall by $47,000. The second proposal, number two, would increase it by $59,267.85. And the third proposal would increase it 20% at $100,740.05.
All right. You said insurance. What was the other?
Retirement.
Retirement, right. Okay.
Those are the hidden cost of running a business.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know.
Just to let you know, though, we did have an excess of 453,000 gallons this year, higher than last year, which translated into an increase of $25,000 more.
Yeah.
So when you're thinking about that.
Wait, but that also could be balanced next year by a very wet summer.
It could be, yeah.
So that's one of the things that is kind of like fluctuates the year where you can't really, I don't know if you can count on that. I think you just need to know that some years you're going to get it, some years you're not.
Right.
So we'll definitely need some guidance here from Mike.
Right.
One way or the other.
New business.
Okay.
I got new business.
Okay.
You got new business.
Yep.
Go ahead.
I guess we're not going home before 8 o'clock tonight.
Yeah, we are. This is
we're
quick.
Getting, this
I
is
think
where we get paid the big bucks here.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, the money's just coming out of our ears. But I think we need an opening ceremony for the new water tank.
I was thinking about an open house.
Oh, that's pretty good.
I was too, actually.
Yeah.
I really got my mind.
I think we did have one
the
last time. What, the old one is 78 years old. We're not as old as the Cubs, but we're younger
pretty
than
good.
Indians or something like that. But
yeah. We did actually have an open house for Station 5 when it was built, I remember.
Did anybody come?
Yeah.
And offer food?
Yeah. If you offer coffee and donuts or whatever, you know, yeah, usually.
Yeah. I set up a table down there.
No, it'd be nice people should, if they would want, I would think people would want us there.
Good call.
Yeah.
That's
I
good
mean, we could work something out.
The inside
of
a water
tank. It's tough in the winter to do it.
Yeah.
But
well,
it depends how the weather is. Yeah.
When are we going to turn that thing on?
We're talking within 30 days, or it could be
November.
Months away.
So we could have it in November.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
We could do it both November and the spring. We could do it when it warms up too.
Yeah, sure.
We could do another one. Yeah. Okay.
No, that wasn't my mind.
That's a good call.
Yeah.
That's
I believe
call,
Commissioner Barnacle had some new business.
Oh, I did have some new business. You're right. That's right. I forgot. That would have been bad if I went away from here without doing that.
Yeah.
So they're looking for our members for the policy advisory.
Video cameras.
and the bylaws committee.
Well, unless you guys want to switch, you know, I can go for bylaws again.
You want to do the policy advisory?
I'll do with whatever's left.
You want?
I mean, bylaws, I kind of know it now. But, you know, I can do policy advisory. I don't care.
What?
Maybe who's
Stan,
running the committee?
Stan Goldstein is
running which committee?
The policy advisory. You want to take a shot at that?
I don't care.
Okay.
I
don't think we have to.
Do we have to vote? Do we have to do a vote?
No, we just have to say who they are, and we can let Fran know in a simple email who they are. Or
meetings from them?
They're trying to get a policy advisory meeting together now. That's what they.
Like
that's why.
November or something.
Yeah.
So who is the bylaw committee member?
That would be Vic. No, that would be
no.
Don.
So I'm what?
You want to flip for it?
You are on the bylaw committee.
Bylaw. Okay.
There shouldn't be anything for much to do on bylaws.
We did a couple. There was quite a bit done a couple of years ago.
Yeah, but
well,
no,
it hasn't been
nothing,
much done in the last couple of years.
Who is the person from Prudential that's?
I will let you know.
Okay.
Or Jen will let you know. Sorry, Jen.
Jen.
There's like two meetings usually with the bylaws.
We had. We had two. Mimi ran them.
You're like Mimi.
She's a great chair.
Mimi?
Yeah.
She used to be a water commissioner.
Yeah.
Did she?
Yeah. She hired me.
I didn't realize.
That's one of her great claims to fame.
Did you see her letter to the editor on
the sidewalk?
No, on the use of Otis for homeless people.
Oh.
You know, the two political guys came out with a plan to use Otis for homeless people. And she, because she's been on the Otis advisory committee for years.
Yeah.
But anyway, she said, you know, I'd like to remind folks that they have a mission out there and they have a job to do too, so it's just not a dumping ground for
every idea.
Everything else that comes along. Which is right. Anyway.
Well, I think about it. Before we do the next meeting, every November I come to you and ask for the day after Thanksgiving off.
Yes.
If I could let people know ahead of time this year, I'm thinking of it right now.
Okay.
I would like to ask you to extend that. I have no reason not to, really.
There's no reason why we shouldn't do it, but there's always going to be someone on call.
Yeah, there'll be everybody.
When is
be
Thanksgiving this year?
Thursday.
The 24th?
Stop. Yeah, I think so.
It's the 24th?
I think so.
Yes, it is the 24th, because I won't be the 28th, 9th, and 30th, I'll be gone.
It's the 24th right there. See, it's got
look at you go. So we, 6 p.m. parking lot in use.
Be the 25th of. Do we need a motion for that?
I can make a motion that the employees of the water department have the day off on the November 25th. That's the day after Thanksgiving.
I'd second that motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Unless they want to work.
Yeah.
Somebody has to be on call, right?
If there's an emergency,
yes, it's an emergency.
They will respond
sure
without paving.
So the Prudential
it's
Committee,
we,
the Prudential Committee meeting is the 28th.
Because it's extra over and above, they can have the day off, but if there's an emergency and they have to come in, it has to be treated as if they're there.
Yeah. It's not coming in.
Yeah.
They're not double dipping.
No, they're not double dipping in any way, because they're already getting paid for the day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do you want to have our meeting the 30th, the 2 days after the Prudential Committee meeting, in case we end up going to the Prudential Committee meeting for getting some of this stuff squared up, straightened up?
Well,
Don?
If we did it, when can't you do it?
I'm gone from the 11th to the 20th.
I have no plans for this month.
That's pretty good.
I don't have
no camping? No life. That's not good, Bob.
Campers are winterized.
I don't know. Their meeting's the 28th, it looks like. So you're thinking 30th you're talking?
Mm-hmm.
I will not be able to make it on the 30th, but I don't know if Jen could.
Okay.
This is...
I think it's important that you're around for this, this next one coming up. I mean, I'm not saying that you have to do this, but if you can make sure that Jen has, you know...
I'm not going to be here the 28th, 29th, and 30th.
Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to say that I think that it's important that you're involved in this decision to make these payments and get this thing going. I mean, you are the lead guy. I mean,
yeah.
You depend on you. So we gotta get our act together so that we're not bouncing around here. And we got kind of the rug pulled out from under us with this payment, how the money went down. I mean, we seem to have lost money as opposed to gained money. And maybe I'm looking at it wrong, but